a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Government Operations and Audit Committee will come to order. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Bartling.
Here.
Senator Gillespie. Senator Hunoff.
Here.
Senator Haberle.
Here.
Senator Teason.
Here.
Quorum is present. We remind any of those testifying today to be sure that you sign in at the podium at the back of the room. Today we are convening to, we have no minutes from prior meetings. Our agenda today is to consider Senate Bill 99. And do I see Senator Hansen to introduce that bill?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the committee. I'm Tom Hansen, Senator from District 22, representing Beetle, Hand, and Girald counties. I ask for your consideration of Senate Bill 99. There are two key components of this bill. The first is subsection 6 in section 1, where reference is made to a sunset provision in the amount of $60. Senate Bill 134 was passed 2 years ago, which increased the biennial pesticide registration fee from $175 to $300. That bill was brought forward in the 2008 legislative session. It contained a provision that $60 of the fee would sunset in 2010, taking it back to $240. As mentioned, this bill removes the sunset clause. The other provision is to note the new language in subsection 7 of section 2, which redirects the $60 to a new fund to be called the Weed and Pest Early Detection Rapid Response Fund. Section 3 then goes on to describe the purpose of this Weed and Pest Early Detection Rapid Response Fund. Its purpose will be to implement eradication or containment strategies for newly introduced weeds or pests or sudden weed or pest outbreaks. I know there are others to offer testimony, and I will stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. At this time, I'm going to call upon proponents of Senate Bill 99, to testify. And I'll remind the committee that following each person's testimony, I'll have an opportunity for committee members to question them at that time. Go ahead.
In response to weeds and invasive species and what we have happening across the state where there are some major infestations. In the back of the book, you'll see that there's it tells you how costs are arrived at. It's by no means a completed plan yet. The Department of Agriculture is looking at it. The Weed and Pest Commission will take it up this year. As you may know, there's a current bill in the legislature to reduce the Weed and Pest Commission from 13 down to 7, which we are supportive of. And that committee will take a look at this plan, and hopefully with the Department of Ag and the committee, we will adopt this plan, which gives a pretty good indication going forward how weeds will be treated in South Dakota. There's a lot of reading there, but it's a very comprehensive plan, and I just wanted to show you that we are on top of what's happening across the state and where the issues lie, and that's where these funds would be applied. The other three-page handout I gave you on the front page indicates what other states charge for the licensing of these products that we're talking about today. And as you can see, South Dakota is by far the cheapest of all of the surrounding states. On the bottom of that first page tells how the $300 is distributed, and it does go to a variety of places. It was the weed and pest supervisors that brought this forward a couple of years ago, and at the last minute, we sort of got hijacked into the conservation fund, and we agreed with that with the understanding that we'd be able to come back and have a discussion on how we ought to be able to take those funds and put them back into the Weed and Pest Commission's process, whereby they can put out indications for grants that then counties and weed boards and National Forest Service, lakes, independent entities would be able to come in and apply for grants to deal with weeds. Last time when we brought this forward, the testimony from the opponents was that if by raising the fee to $300, the pesticide registrations would go down, and that has not been the case. They've gone up almost 20% since 2 years ago. The second page shows you where the funds go and what the revenue is that is derived from that. We'll give you an indication of the dollars amount there. And then the very back page is the statute that gives the Department of Ag and the Weed Commission some guidance on what the dollars can and should be used for. And it's a pretty tight list, and they adhere very strictly to that. Darwin Kurtenbach is the administrator of the program in the Department of Ag, and he has is really tight-fisted with the dollars. And there's been some complaints that the he's too tight-fisted, actually. They bring grants that they feel have some merit, and he'll kick them out because they don't adhere to the seven standards that you see on that back page. We're not asking to change those. We're just asking to increase the dollars, leave the dollars where they're at, which would give us an increase in funds to deal with many of the problems that we have across the state. We do have a weed and pest supervisor from Lawrence County here today to talk with you a little bit about chemicals and the pests that they plan to see, and the invasives that are coming to South Dakota. If we had some of the emerald ash borer come to South Dakota that's in surrounding states, we could see a wipeout of the ash trees in our park system across the state. That would be devastating. So we have that, and then we have a couple other people just to testify that participate in the fund. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Richter? Senator Hunoff.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I have a few. I'm sorry, Mr. Richter, I missed. Who are you representing?
The South Dakota Invasive Species Management Association.
Secondly, who did this comprehensive master plan?
They did. The Management Association did that with input from SDSU, the National Forest Service. It's with the weed and pest supervisors, weed and pest board, people that are involved in the eradication of weeds across the state from a variety of industries.
Go ahead. Mr. Chair, who authorized this study?
Well, we work with the Department of Agriculture. We asked them if they had a plan. They said, no, we don't have one, but if you'd like to start one, we'd be interested in having you do that. We're not buying into your plan, but it would be a start. We don't have the FTE or the people to do the plan, and so we've done it. We forwarded it to them a couple of months ago. They're taking it under review. They've told us that they like parts of it, they don't like parts of it, and if the legislation passes this year, we plan to bring it before the Weed and Pest Commission.
One last question, if I could. Did the South Dakota Weed and Pest Control Commission take any action to give blessings to this or delegate your group to carry this out?
The Weed and Pest Association, the Weed and Pest Commission, voted to try to retain the $300 fee, as well as they have members from their board that are on our board that worked on this plan.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Richter.
Thank you.
Other proponents for Senate Bill 99, proponents.
Hello, my name is David Heck. I'm a landowner in Butte County and have been serving as the Lawrence County Invasive Species Coordinator since 2000. Just going back to what Mitch talked about, when we were here 2 years ago looking at legislation increase, We were talking about a new invasive salt cedar is coming into the state. At the time, there were 6,000 acres. We requested that we receive 85, and we ended up getting 25. 60 of it went to soil conservation. When we got that 25, the commission established a special grants program. Within that special grants program, counties that would partner up with other counties and federal partners came in and sought grant funding from that 25 that went back out onto Cheyenne River, Belfouche River, Ormond Dam, to specifically control salt cedar when it was found. The money that we have currently right now in the Weed and Pest Fund is granted out to counties. And 2 years ago, counties pretty much now agreed that they would spend their money that they received currently from the Weed and Pest Fund on pesticides. The county has to spend $8,000 to get $4,000, and they turn around directly and apply that back to their county lands. The 60 that we're asking for to be rolled into this Early Detection Rapid Response Fund will specifically go after things like emerald ash borer coming from Minnesota, Eurasian milfoil coming down the Missouri River from North Dakota, kudzu coming up from Nebraska, garlic mustard coming in from Sioux Falls and Minnesota. And then since it's called Early Detection Rapid Response and it's under species, we can go after locals like grasshoppers. Grasshoppers in the state last year were an extreme problem. They're going to be a problem this year. This funding in this fund, as Mitch talked about, could go after surprise outbreaks of pests. Grasshoppers are going to be a problem next year. And this money could be used through a grants program back to landowners. If you look at the granting statutes in 382238, they say that individual entities can come in, groups can come in. It doesn't necessarily just go to counties. Anybody can come before the commission and seek a grant, and so that this money could be used for something like that. I guess that's about it. Thank you.
Questions for Mr. Heck? Senator Hanoff.
Thank you. Well, the reason I ask all the questions is because I sit on rules, so this all comes through there. Sir, you just mentioned some weeds. Are those weeds that you're talking pesticides, but you have pesticides to address the weeds. Are the weeds that you're talking about on the state's noxious weed list?
No, they are not. But the Secretary of Agriculture can institute an emergency declaration, which lasts for 180 days, which then allows that invasive to come before the Weed and Pest Commission, which then can be put into a state noxious, on the state noxious weed list. And so a landowner in, say, Butte County can come to me and say, we're having a problem with salt cedar. Could you please talk to the commission and to the Department of Ag and have it listed? If I talk to the secretary and he believes it's warranted, after talking with the chairman of the commission, they can institute that day, and it lasts for 180 days within the state.
Just one more follow-up.
Go ahead.
So we're trying to circumvent a process here that's in place, that we have the noxious weeds that are out there, the allocation and the resources, but if some person out in some county, and I'll use Yankton County, decides, oh, this is a bad problem, and I go to the Department of Ag, then all of a sudden they're supposed to respond and say, well, because Gene Hunoff said that and we really say it's a problem, we're now going to divest or put our resources to address that. So anybody that's got a problem, and we lose the organizational structure of why we have noxious weed listings.
Sort of. Right now we have 7 invasives listed on the state weed and pest list. And if you look at that list, with the exception of salt cedar, they've been on that list probably for 20 years. Canada thistle, leafy spurge. We do not want another Canada thistle in the state of South Dakota. The weeds that we're talking about, and, you know, when the secretary makes a decision, he's going to consult with his staff. And when the chairman of the commission make a decision, he's going to consult with their staff. And the 180 days will still have to go before a rules committee hearing at the end of the 180 days if it passes the commission. So it'll still go through the legislative process to be added to the 7 for the state noxious weed list. This is just a way to preemptively take care of a problem, hopefully, before it turns into another million-acre problem of Canada thistle. If we can get on top of yellow star thistle when it shows up in Butte County in a bag of seed that we thought was clean in an alfalfa field, there's funding available to take care of that problem then and there, rather than let it grow into a statewide problem, and then all we're doing is maintenance. Maintenance is terribly expensive, but if we can get ahead of it, that's where we need to be. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Heck? Thank you. Other proponents for Senate Bill 99, proponents.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Gary Pribble. I'm a farmer in Beadle County. I'm also secretary for the State Association of County Weed and Pest Boards and a lobbyist for them. What I wanted to bring forward to you is the fact that this emergency fund, early response or emergency fund, will address something that we don't have already. It's in our border states, but we expect it to show up. And right now, that's the only funds available to address a problem. Back in 88, we had spotted knapweed in Tripp County. The supervisor brought it to the state. We talked about it. We went to federal trying to find funding. Guess what? It was 6,000 acres before anything happened. We don't want that to happen again. By supporting this fund, we put dollars in the kitty that will let us respond immediately and eradicate a small problem, and then thereby not have to address it 3 years later when it's way too big to address with dollars. It takes people on the ground. And your county or my county are strapped for funds. We haven't got the dollars to go and spend $40,000 on one little acre someplace because of the problem that's come in. And we know that all of these invaders, some of them were brought in here intentionally and went wild. Some of them were imported by birds and whatever. Maybe it come in on a fire truck from Oregon. It doesn't matter how it got here. It's not a native here. It's a problem here. And we want to address it. The second thing I want to bring to your attention is this isn't going to be an action-reaction problem. Those funds are already being collected. All we're doing is redistributing them to another source that was initially brought to you 2 years ago. Product on the ground is what takes care of weeds. It's not committees. It's not reports. It's product on the ground and manpower. And that takes time from somebody. And we have to be prepared to spend energy and knowledge to get to the bottom of that issue. Thank you.
Questions for Mr. Pribble? Thank you.
Thank you.
Other proponents? Senate Bill 99, proponents. Seeing none, opponents to Senate Bill 99, opponents. Representative Tiedemann.
Representative Larry Tiedemann, District 7, Brookings, South Dakota. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I guess I'm the one that hijacked that money, but I would say that it was also voted on the House floor and was more redirected, not hijacked. It was redirected. It was redirected so actually the weed and pest could get 25 additional dollars than what they had been getting to fight noxious weeds. And I believe if you go back to the bill when it was brought forward last time, they didn't have funds going to the invasive species program. It was going to weed and pest to fight the noxious weeds that we have out across the state. A deal was made at that time to help get that additional $25. We said we would sunset it in 2 years. Meetings this past summer with all of the groups, I said, my word is my word. I will oppose it because the folks that are paying the bill don't want to do it anymore. I said it would be sunsetted in 2 years, and it's going to sunset this coming July 1st or June 30th. The other interesting thing to think of is that most of the non-agricultural products that are taxed, or they pay this registration fee, 10,000 of them are not agricultural products. They're household products. And that's why the fit was so nice with the conservation program to protect groundwater. Now, I'm a strong proponent of fighting noxious weeds. In fact, this past summer, I took my corn knife and walked down the street because they weren't taking care of Canada thistle. Canada thistle have been with us a long time. And I took my corn knife down, visited with the landowner, and I cut him down. I didn't want to spray on their property because I didn't have a license to spray on their property, but I could use a corn knife. So I spent 2 hours cutting thistles. I truly believe that we need to protect the investment within our state. The natural resources, water, protect it so you do not get those pesticides in there. Two, that we protect the crops that our producers are raising. But I do oppose this bill because, one, I put forth my word saying that it would be sunsetted. Now, I did say that it would definitely create a job for somebody to try and go after the money. And I think I held my word to that one as well. I stand by for any questions.
Questions for Representative Tiedemann? I have one. First of all, I hope your confession here today doesn't harm your ability to get through an airport in the near future.
I don't carry that corn knife, Mr. Chairman, all the time.
I'm talking about the hijacker reference.
Oh, that one, yes.
That could be more of a problem.
That's why I said I redirected. I didn't hijack, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. My question is, the deal that you made, was that deal specific to removing the $60 for the previous purpose, or was it to remove it, period? I mean, did you have those discussions? I mean, we're arguing for a different purpose now than what the $60 was agreed to previously. So if you could tell me about those discussions, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you for the question, Mr. Chairman. And yes, it was that the dollar amount would come off and it would go from $300 down to $240. That was, it wasn't a purpose. In fact, I have a letter that says they support the purpose at that time to help the conservation program through a short dollar cycle. But no, they said the dollars would come off, not to be redirected.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Other opponents to Senate Bill 99.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Kathy Zander, and I'm the executive director and lobbyist for the South Dakota Agribusiness Association, and I represent the ag companies that pay this pesticide registration fee. Representative Tiedemann talked about the agreement, and if you look at the history of this fund, more than once we've come forward and funded projects knowing that it would come off. One is recycling fund. That's been on and off two different times. When the fund gets enough money, it comes off. Years ago, there was the emergency research fund. That was a one-year thing. It came off. The one I'm most familiar with, I was a chem rep, and this came on. It was Senator Stensland's groundwater fund. It's a five-year fund. It was funded. It came off. So we do have the history of supporting needs and with respect that they will come off when need be. Just want to direct a couple things that Mitch Richter said. In 2008, there were over 12,000 products registered. Today, there are only 10,658. So we did lose products. And some people behind me will testify on that behalf. Also, if you look at the study that was passed off, if you look on page 28, there's a comparison of the state registration fees. And I've looked into that completely. You can't really compare Minnesota. They've got a department about five times the size of ours. They need more money to fund their department. Just even if you compare, like, the fertilizer tonnage tax, theirs is 50 cents. Ours is, I think, going up to 10. So you're really not comparing apples to apples. The other part I'd like you to look at is later in the fund, in the study, they talk about forming a new group with statutory requirements. So they're looking at using this money for a lot more purposes than I think have been discussed. I just want to just briefly review the amount of money that's actually raised by this legislation. If this legislation passed, this fund will get $1.3 million every 2 years. That's a lot of money. in my mind. What they get now is, at the $60, is about $640,000. The way they have their grant process, this year they're only scheduled to grant out $450,000. So they're not even granting out the money that that they're taking in. Another thing you might want to look at is their reserves right now, over $800,000. So I guess my question is, why are we looking at more money when they already have significant amounts of money? And then Mr. Heck talked about weed problems. Yeah, there's weed problems out there. But if you look at what they ask for money for their grants for, they ask for landowner education. They ask for maintenance of application equipment. If these new invasive weed species are really issues, why aren't they going after those in some of their grant applications? So that's all I have, unless you have any other questions.
Questions for Ms. Zander?
Thank you.
Thank you. Other opponents to Senate Bill 99?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Brenda Foreman. I'm Executive Director and Registered Lobbyist for South Dakota Association of Cooperatives. I'll try not to restate some of the stuff that's been before, but want to reiterate, we were in the discussion when the purpose came forward of if we would support an increased fee of $60 for 2 years for conservation. We did agree to that with the full understanding that in 2010 it would be repealed. Kathy's touched on the budget situations, the amount of money that goes into the funds, also the fact that only 16% of this of the registered chemicals are agriculture. And I think that's one thing we have to be very cognizant of, because the other entities that are paying that fee have been very positive in allowing us to continue to use that funds without ever coming into the state and questioning why we use all that money and registration fee for weed and pest control in open areas. The one thing I would actually like you to really consider right now is you're looking at a plan that's 60-some pages in length. While it was developed, according to the authors, by input from different groups, we also need to look at the fact that there's several other entities in this state that spend money on weed control. And before we would develop or create a new fund, I do believe that it would behoove Department of Transportation, Department of Ag, Game Fish and Parks, conservation districts, and several other federal entities to sit down and truly talk about how is the best way to address and control weeds, whether noxious or invasive, because all of those entities have some type of money that is spent on weed control. So instead of just creating this fund now, maybe there is some good stuff in the plan. Will be honest, I have not read the plan through. But instead of creating the fund and then approving the plan, I think a plan needs to be better developed with all entities involved as we go forward with what's best to the state and how best should we fund that process and who should all be involved with it. So for those reasons of, one, we did agree to the deal, and I hope you guys can stick to that deal, but more importantly, what is best for the state as a whole is that step back and make sure all entities are involved in this process before we would create another fund to address a specific area by a specific group. I will entertain any questions.
Thank you. Questions for Ms. Foreman. Senator Gillespie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for Ms. Foreman. Ms. Foreman, you're sort of a victim of timing here, so if you can't answer this, perhaps someone else can after you step away from the microphone. But, you know, as far as the waterborne mussels and this milfoil that's referenced in this study, do you know, are there any other efforts to stop those types of problems from coming into our state by game, fish, and parks, perhaps? Because a lot of times it's my understanding that those types of zebra mussels and such are transported by boats or jet skis. And I guess I'm not making the connection between an agricultural pesticide, the Department of Ag, and at least those two waterborne problems. And if you can't answer that question, maybe someone else can.
I would actually have to ask you to defer to GFMP on how they look to address that, because I do not know.
Okay, perhaps you can ask the audience at a later time if for an answer. Any other questions for Ms. Foreman?
Thank you.
Other opponents to Senate Bill 99?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Rick Valerie. I'm registered lobbyist for South Dakota Wheat and South Dakota Oilseeds Council, and I also am administrator for the Pulse Council. And I want to bring a different perspective, and the first statement I need to make is I was not part of the agreement. Okay? I don't have a clue what went on in the agreement. But I want to make a statement from this perspective. Oilseeds and pulse crops are basically considered minor crops in the state of South Dakota. Sunflowers are oilseeds, but also safflowers and canola and flax. With the exception of sunflowers, safflowers, canola, flax, and all the pulses need pesticides to be successful in this state. That's just part of agronomics. One of the problems we have is when we increase the fee, minor crops suffer because we don't have enough acres to justify the fee being, or the product being labeled in this state and sold in this state. That creates some problems. So we want you to be aware of that. There are times when we could use a product, and there are some products that are available for our commodities, but it is limited. And so all I'm pointing out is that it does create a problem for us anytime we increase the fee. Well, the companies that come in here to register take a look at the acres that are grown and see how much product they can sell in here, and they justify it. And if we cannot justify with acres, we're not going to get registered. And if the fee continues to go up, we're going to continue to be hurt in that manner. So I just ask you to keep that in mind as you make a decision, and I'll stand by for any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Valerie? Thank you. Other opponents, Senate Bill 99. Okay, at this time, I'll ask Mr. Senator Panson, would you like to take a couple minutes for rebuttal?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and if I may, I'll defer to Mr. Richter.
Okay. Mr. Richter.
Thank you very much. To answer Senator Hunhoff's question about trying to circumvent the process, we're not trying to circumvent the process at all. We're trying to create a process that's very proactive in dealing with new invasives until we can get those new species on the weed list, if that's what it takes. If we handle the weeds as they come, maybe they wouldn't have to be on there. So we're not trying to circumvent the process at all. We're just trying to be very proactive in what we're talking about. To refute what Mr. Valerie said, we're not asking for an increase here. We're not asking for an increase at all. We're asking for the fee to stay exactly what it is. And a deal is a deal around here. I've been around long enough until the second Tuesday in January shows up, and then all deals are on the table. And I've been part of those deals that last year we made the deal, and this year we changed it. And that happens all the time around here. And so I agree. Nobody wants to pay the bill. I mean, nobody comes up here offering to increase their fees or increase my taxes so I can pay more money. But for the life of me, I don't know why a co-op would come up and say, you know, we're against this increase when the registration fee goes back to buying more pesticides, that goes back to that co-op where they're going to sell more product. In 2007, I believe it was, we had 10,000 registered licenses for these chemicals. Department of Ag on Thursday or Friday emailed me, and there was 12,200. So that is an increase. I don't know where the numbers came from, but the Department of Ag told us that is an increase. As Senator Hunhoff knows, this is a biannual registration fee, and the Weed and Pest Commission and the Department of Ag have what I would call obligated money. I mean, you're spreading that money over a two-year period. So at some point in the process, if you take a snapshot today, that fund is going to look like there's a lot of money in it. If you take a look at it after the next Weed and Pest Commission meeting, there's probably not going to be near as much money in it. So you have to look at a rolling average on what that is, and to come up and say, well, there's $1.3 million today or $800,000, that isn't fair until you take a look at it over a period of time. The plan that we put in front of you, the 60-page plan, certainly there are some recommendations in there, but until they're adopted by the legislature or goes through the rulesmaking authority, we have to stick to the seven categories that are in the law today, and we can't spend money on the Weed and Pest Commission can't expend money for anything other than those areas. So there's a process in place for this money to be doled out and granted out to the counties, the individual entities that come up and ask for it. And what we're asking to do is just leave the fee the way it is. And we won't be back for a few years because we'd be happy with what we had after today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Richter. Okay, at this time, are there any other questions for anyone that testified from members of the committee? Senator Hunhoff.
Is someone here that testified representing the South Dakota Weed and Pest Control Commission and speaking for them? No. All right, that's what I needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? In that case, public testimony is closed, and we'll move to committee discussion. And/or action. Senator Haverly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Senate Bill 99 of the 41st day.
Second. A motion from Senator Haverly, second by Senator Hunhoff, to move to the 41st day. Discussion. Senator Haverly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Mr. Richter, I definitely agree with you that there are times that things change. I had to go back and actually look to see how I voted and in 2008 just to refresh my memory. I don't like to see things change when we make deals. I like to see fresh legislation that comes out and brings everything forward so we can see everything on the table when a change is necessary. Now, I'm not saying that there's not good information and valuable information in what you all have provided, but it's sort of a tough pill for me to swallow when I voted for this deal for a two-year time frame with the increase on the fee, and then I turn coat and run. And it has happened. Has it happened to me? Probably so, because nobody ever points it out to me after I do it. And hopefully you'll be there to point it out when I do it next time. I hear the same argument coming from both groups, and tell me if this is one of those times that Jeff Haverly has to step out in the hallway with a flag in between two parties and say, play nice. Because I think there's some compromises that could be made here in lieu of keeping this increase on this fee. But with that, I ask the members of the committee to go ahead and support the 41st day.
Further discussion. Senator Bartley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I too will support the 41st day motion. I was a part of those talks and agreements. Representative Tienem and I have been very active over the last number of years in efforts to find dollars to support conservation because we both have a very strong feeling about the value of that, what that means across the state. But the other thing is I'm looking at a proposed management plan, and I'm just really not comfortable doing things with a proposed plan. I'd rather look at something that's been completely approved and has something solid that we can look at and then have the party come back to the legislature and seeking the fees that they may need in order to help with these type of problems. Invasive species, you know, that's never going to go away. We're an agricultural state. We have all of our borders. Things are going to move in and out of this state all the time. And so I just want to see something firm and solid, and then we can readdress this at a later time. Thank you.
Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, too, from the second, do support this, and I guess I'm taking this from a different position. As sitting on Rules Committee, every time there is a rule change, and I certainly with noxious weeds, we have a deliberate discussion about that and the outcome. I have to look around the room. Two groups are absent, representation from the Pest Commission and also from the Department of Agriculture. When we have rules hearing, those parties are present. So in my mind, I have to conclude they're not taking a position, which tells me they're not necessarily supporting this. the plan that was developed. Again, this is another group that's out there. If it was, I guess, so important, then why wasn't it taken on by the Weed and Pest Commission and sort of consigned and worked together on that aspect so you come together on this plan? And I think the other point that I'm concerned about is the development of another fund that's out there. And in these times of what we're dealing with state dollars and not having, and we want to create another fund that, again, those two bodies are not present, and how are those funds going to be expended? I don't think that fiscally, in my mind, is the right thing to do and create another quasi-level of government. I don't agree with the Pest Commission in what they're doing, so I'm going to be this other group out there, and then how are you going to access or direct those funds? This is not the time to be expanding government, and it's not the time to be creating new funds. So for that, I support the motion.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, the motion is to defer Senate Bill 99 to the 41st day. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bartling?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. Senate Bill 99 is deferred to the 41st day. Is there any other action from the committee? Hearing none, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion Senator Hunhoff, second by Senator Bartling to adjourn. All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Committee is adjourned. Thank you.